We love hip hop.
All right. Okay, how your voice sounding over there on the mic?
Yo, I'm good.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'm good.
I could probably talk from now. Nah, it's probably too far, right?
Yeah, bring it a little closer.
Mic right here. All right.
I got to stand up high enough because you're a tall motherfucker.
Nah, I'm blessed.
You know what's you remind me of an artist that I used to manage back in the days. Big salute to Buns, aka Antwee. Hold on,
I know who that is.
Yes,
of course. Come on,
a lot of people know Antwee.
Come on, man.
He's been out here for a while, putting in work in the basketball scene.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Hold on, let me make sure my sound effects are good. Right, the sweat from my damn face. Okay. So yeah, like I was saying, even the boy Antwee. You know Antwee.
Yeah.
So have you guys like passed crossed each other's path like in the coaching world and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I know from young, just basketball, you know.
Yeah, that's
a familiar face. Yeah, that's.
Did you know that he's like, I guess a triple threat, but like, you know that he had bars too?
Mm-hmm. I know what time it is.
Is there like a little secret group of basketball / rapper niggas that like know each other, maybe make tunes together?
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the old saying, ballers want to be rappers.
Rappers want to be
ballers. So at the end of the day, it's like a lot of people have tried their hand at it. You know, it's not even like something that should be shocking to anybody.
Yeah.
Like if we're being real, like LeBron has tracks, KD, like, you know, all these guys have tracks, you know? So it's like, I guess some people probably take it more serious than others, but
yeah.
That's always been a thing.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, let's get it popping here. Yeah, I'm going to start off with one of my favorite tunes off the City News at 6. This album would or EP.
It's an album, 10 songs.
Yeah, album. Let's get it popping right here. Internet.
It's a big one.
Young type of
number, let's
get it popping.
Water. Hey.
Let's get into these vibes.
Young type of number 30, put it on the net and let them know what time you on. Going over who the best, going up a step, like you do it tough for them. Rubbing up for a chain, for a little fame, wanna see the yank it on.
Fizz watching everything,
writing down names, wanna see their freedom gone.
It's about to go down, man.
Put it on the net and let them know what time you on. Going over who the best, going up a step, banging through a telephone. Rubbing up for a chain, for a little fame, wanna see the yank it on. Fizz watching everything, writing down names, wanna see their freedom gone. Yeah, he going live on your hood. They posted on blogs to see if you bite.
Woo.
Ready to get you on site. Tell her the word on the site. They in the comment section going crazy. You see, and yeah, got a price. Six buzz going site. Headline got you tight.
Crazy.
Yep. One of them ones.
Yeah, man. It's your boy Friday Ricky Dread back with another interview for your head top. Before I get into this, big salute to the sponsors. Big salute to Diamond Club. They got delivery of that loud all across the GTA and all across Canada, you know, for the people in the West Coast and Saskatchewan, all that good stuff. Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. Let them know that We Love Hip Hop Boy sent you and you get a little discount. You heard me. Also, if you need that blem, hit up Steaming Hot Grabber. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steaming Hot Grabber. They got Peanut Butter Grabber, Red Rose, Red Herring, all the most popular grabber flavors that you need. Once again, hit them up on their Instagram page, Steaming Hot Grabber. And one more.
No, you're good.
Big salute to Exotic Hot Pots. You know, they provided me with some dope loud over here today, some Island Pink, some really, really dope packaging. Hit them up on their Instagram page, exotichotpot.ca, and check out their merch line too. They got some really, really fire merch. I'll be rocking some dope stuff later on in the week. But with all that out the way, you know what I'm saying? I'm really excited to for this conversation I'm about to have right here. Young gentleman that I've been watching doing the rap thing, but then I've been seen you pop up on TV a few different times, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you're really busy in the sports space as well, right? So with no further ado, we have John Kabongo in the motherfucking building.
Appreciate you, my dog. Appreciate it.
Yo, what's going on, brother? How's your your year been so far? We're getting close to February right now. Before we're filming this on February 13th, you got some Valentine's plans?
Oh, shit, I don't know. I'm gonna keep that discreet. Maybe not. I don't know. Okay. I am dropping a video on Valentine's Day though with Jada Hope. Butterflies. That's gonna be fire.
Okay, so by the time that this is out, the people will be able to take that in right 100%. There. And you know, this is gonna be. I've been watching a bunch of your interviews, and you know what? Let me fix that for you.
I think it's good now. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching a bunch of your interviews, and one thing that I've been seeing in your interviews is a lot of people speak to you about the basketball stuff.
Yep.
And you know, it's very focused on that.
Right.
But I want to get the full John Kabongo history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're born here in Toronto.
Born in Toronto.
Right. You grew up in like East York area type area?
Yeah, Blake Street.
Yes. So what was that like? Because Blake is a well-known area. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like it's funny because Blake is one of those areas where it's like, if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people from the city really know where Blake is or what Blake is. But like the people that do know, they know Blake, right?
And yeah.
Yeah, it's like a very hidden place. You won't see it unless you're intentionally trying to go there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and like just like every other neighborhood, you know, we have what we have, you know. But I do think we do have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You know, and like maybe our talent flies under the radar in some ways a little bit, but you know, it's definitely there. And like, I'm definitely trying to, you know, break down more barriers for people from my ends to really, you know, reach that heights in the city and just in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
And the household that you grew up in, right? Like you have Congolese parents.
Yep. Congolese parents. I'm the youngest of 6 kids.
Yeah.
You know, so I have older bro, sis, and I was in a basketball household. That's why basketball was such a, you know, have an older bro, hooper, mm-hmm. just, you know, big name in the city for hoops, big name in North America for hoops. Sister had a big name in the city for hoops. You know, my other brothers weren't so big in hoops, but everybody played basketball.
So, okay. So put me on, like, with your older brother and your older sister, like, be more specific for me as, like, a non-sports guy and for the people from the outside.
Yeah. So, yeah, my brother was a highly recruited, like, you know, athlete
mm-hmm.
from a young age, you know, went to the States early, went to the University of Texas, McDonald's All-American,
mm-hmm.
12-year pro, just playing like in the D League overseas.
Yeah. And he dropped bars too over here.
Yeah. 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 And that's really where I get it from, you know, just like I was a young kid, you know, seeing the older mans do what they're doing, hooping, mm-hmm. making music. And I'm just there just trying to imitate the older people.
Yeah.
You know, so those are like, that's really what I feel like shaped my DNA.
Yeah. You know? And your sister, you know, being a woman in the basketball leagues and mm-hmm. stuff like that, to be able to reach great heights like that, that's a mm-hmm. big accomplishment.
Nah, that was inspirational for me too. You know, she was a big part of my upbringing, just like making sure I was, you know, just taking the right steps to really go as far as I wanted to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, everybody played their part in my fam.
Yeah.
In different ways. I have a brother that's into acting, you know, like that's something that he's out there for, but he was also involved with the basketball too. And my mm-hmm. other two brothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were coaching me or doing whatever. So it was definitely a village, just like investing their time in the little kid, you know?
Yeah.
I had like 10 parents. That's what it felt like.
That's crazy. So when's the first time that you, even like before the booth, when's the first time that you touched the basketball court? Like what age were you?
Basketball, that's from young. Like I said, you know,
like
I'm just
a kid, like 5-6 type thing.
Yeah, you know, because that's what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
So it's like in your mind, you're not even really thinking about all that it is. You're just doing what everyone's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mans are playing in the park, you know, that's what the older people are passionate about.
Mm-hmm,
so you just want to be involved. You
and
know,
you
so
you used to go to Eastview Community Center?
Yep. Right. Then that's where it's at, you know, like Wednesday nights, they used to have the runs and it was intense,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just like that. That's a big deal to you as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely feel like from a young age, like there was a basketball culture just in my ends that was super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
People debating about basketball. So just as a little kid, you want to be a part of that. So you pick it up. You know?
Yeah. So during that time that you're developing your basketball skills, were you already like going to studio or were you even interested in rap?
Yeah. So I had my first song in like grade 2, you know, like, but it wasn't even a song that I wrote because my bro and his boys, they were, you know, going to like, it was like a home studio somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? And then he was like, we used to record on Audacity on the computer, you know?
Okay.
So it was, It was a remix to the Ring the Alarm beat by the Beyonce. Remember that beat?
Yeah.
So he wrote me like a little verse for that. And I everywhere I went, I would just rap that verse, you know? And then from there, it was just like my love for music really started to like grow, like making music started to grow, you know?
When I listen to your music, like if I can say it's conscious.
Right.
Like I'm hearing like positive messages, like intelligent shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So as far as like what you're listening to when you're coming up, were you like into like J. Cole, different people like that?
Yeah. I mean, I just released that remix that did really well, you know, and like my biggest influences, you know, and that's why I did that series are Drake, Kendrick, and Cole, right? And when I talk about Drake, people don't really look at Drake as like an artist that could probably in, like be in the same category as a Cole or Drake or a Cole or Kendrick. But it's like, if you know, you know.
No, as a full like, listener of Drake's music, I know what you mean.
Yep.
Like Drake, he bars up.
Yeah, bro. Drake doesn't play around. Like he's in that conversation of lyricist. And like, I will never let what I'm seeing like top the charts confuse me about what type of, you know, cloth he's cut from. Yeah. I know what time it is.
Yeah, so you're a strong believer that Drake is hip hop then.
Come on, man. That was just like people just saying stuff just to start a conversation. But we know what time it is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how Drake came in the game.
So like, you're listening to early Drake, Kendrick, Cole. And now when you now decide to start taking rap seriously, you're way more embedded into basketball.
Right. Exactly.
So was it like a push and pull? Like, am I going to take away from getting into going to practice and stuff like that?
Right. No,
was it an easy process?
It was easy. Because it was just something I did instead of playing video games. Instead of doing whatever I could have been doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you go to school, you go to practice, you do whatever, and then I would write songs. Then I'll go to the studio. And then, you know what I'm saying? I'll shoot a music video. Like, I was, from young, just like, never going to not do it. Even when I was going up with basketball, it was just like, I rap too, you know?
So let's go back to basketball for a second. In high school, right? You were a star player in high school.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So when did the scouts start coming around?
We love hip hop.
Listen to the sponsors, Diamond Club, with delivery all over the GTA and now all across Canada. They got the best selection of flower, edibles, and pens and all types of goodies that you need. You can find them on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed app as well as the Leafy Things app. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop Network and they may give you a discount. Big salute to Diamond Club. Cheer! When did you notice that the scouts were coming around? Because you went to Virginia Tech after.
Right. Yeah.
So there must have been scouts here in the gym watching.
Yeah. I mean, from young, you know, like from like pretty young, I definitely had like a lot of like, you know, eyes on me, you know, cause I was playing against the top talent in North America.
Yeah.
And I was competing with all of them, you know, like, and that's one thing I think a lot of people may not know about basketball. All the top players play each other from grade 7 and 8. It's the same faces over and over and over and over again until people make it to the NBA.
And then you see them over there. You're
right.
Like,
exactly. You know, but it's really been the same people playing against each other the whole time.
That's
crazy. Especially at a high level. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that like I left home early, went to prep school, you know, so I could compete against those guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, like just, you know, from them times, cause I left when I was 15, you know,
bro.
Yeah.
Your mind.
Yeah. You know, so
must have been on 100.
Yo, honestly, like looking back on it, I'm like, damn, like that's really like a very different life experience, you know?
Yes.
Cause I'm like, I'm not even in
you're
like
the guy, bro,
but not even just that though. It's like, even where I was, I'm in, cause I'm from a city, you know, I'm from Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm going to like the sticks, you know, like West Virginia, Huntington, nothing there, you know, but like a college or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, the fact that like I even lived there, I'm like, yo, how did this even happen? Like, how did I even adjust to this? You know, but when you're focused on the basketball thing, it's like, you're not even really thinking about it. You know?
But before even the Virginia Tech, right? On your way there, with the attention that you're pulling in being a star player, what does it do to your ego, bro?
I feel like what happens is like, especially being in a family where I had star players already, right? I kind of already understood like what everything comes with.
Yes.
Like I saw it already from a very, very young age. I really understood the game, right? So by the time I'm getting my attention, whatever, I'm 15, 16 years old, I'm kind of coming in with like an advantage with like the attention and stuff. Because I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've seen it already.
Right. But I think for me, like, I was always like, yo, like, I just want to be the best. So to me, that's where like the ego thing, it was like a strong thing. It was like, I didn't even care that I was like getting attention.
Because yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
If I'm not number one, if I'm not the best, like, I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was very like driven at that age to like, you know, just keep going and keep going. And like, it's definitely funny to probably see that in the kid, you know, like somebody that just really, really wants something, but
staying focused.
Yeah. You know, I really, really, really wanted to be as good as I could be in basketball, man. And that's the honest truth.
This is very interesting to me because you're somebody who stayed focused, right? But I'm sure you've seen a few people crash out because they couldn't handle all of the attention that they were getting from being on the team.
And
being so young at the same time.
Bro. And I think what happens is like, you're not prepared for it. Like you,
how
you know,
can you?
You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's at a very young age and maybe you don't have some people, they have dads in the NBA, mm-hmm. they have older siblings, they have older, someone that's been through it where they see it and they get it and they know,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when you're like, for example, someone like my brother, you know, when you're like, the first person in your family to get all like that level of attention. It's like, damn, like, you know, like it's new.
Yeah.
You know, when around you has ever experienced something like
girls that throwing themselves at you.
It's a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just feel like, you know, it's tough, especially at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, like that's something that's difficult for any 15, 16 year old to deal with and navigate, you know? So I don't even really like fault a lot of the kids. Maybe that I know we see kids, you know, that are out here, maybe 16, 17, and maybe, you know, whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, like, they're still trying to figure out how to be a teenager.
Yeah.
In front of millions of people. You know, they're no different than your little brother, son, or whatever, you know?
You know, I want to sidetrack for a quick second before we get back into your history, because you mentioned something in that sparked something in my brain. Ja Morant.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like, cause it's kind of the same thing. Like there's so much eyes on you. This is a lot of attention for the first time. Like
the way I see it is like, all right, you know, make your money, get any girl you want, could do whatever you want. Now it's like, you just, some people, I feel like they want that respect, you know?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, like maybe just like that desire for that extra respect from whoever may make you act a certain way when it's like, fam, just focus on, you know, what made you the money, you know, like that stuff doesn't even like, but again, like that as a man, you want respect and you never know who people are looking for respect from. So that's how I saw it. You know, he's probably around some people and he's probably like, yo, these guys, you know, look at me like I'm a waste shoot or
like
I don't want them to look at me like that, you know? So, but again, you know, you're a hooper. You know, you get paid millions of dollars to hoop. So
yes.
Protect that, you know?
And that's a blessing. There's not everybody who gets into this, man.
Trust me.
And, you know, moving along in your story, you go to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the campus life like when you first get there?
Bro, it's like, what, almost 30,000 students.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Around that. And everybody's like in the same age group. It's a college town. There's not really much going on outside of the college. So it's like, there's everything you could think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, our fan base was good because what else is there to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people are showing love. We were a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have the traveling, you know, we played in a good conference. So we're going to Duke, going to North Carolina.
Yeah. It's a Division I team.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, so it was definitely like campus life was like, it's probably what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's constantly moving. There's always something.
Hold on. I think it's like what I see on that movie Higher Learning when they show the black side and the white side.
Yeah,
and
then
on the white side, they were doing, the keggers.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. What's that move when they put the person upside down and pour the beer into their mouth or whatever?
I know what you're talking about.
A kegger bomb. Did you see all that type of shit, bro?
Bro, come on, man. The frats and everything. Like, everybody knows what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's happening at every college. in the United, especially the big ones in the United States. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what a lot of people are looking forward to when they go to college, you know? So.
No, but bro, in that movie, mans were turning over cars, like going batshit crazy, like first time ever drinking. Like,
some people are just wild, and that's what it is.
Stuff like that, like maybe not a car turning over, but like that, like guys jumping on top of like posts and stuff.
Bro, I feel like there's a lot of things that like, I never thought I would see, you know.
Mm. Please give me one crazy thing that like a wild college kid was doing while he just got too drunk.
Man.
Or she.
There's too much to name, bro. I might have to circle back, but like, honestly, it's just like, It's just like wilding out, you know, when someone's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like stuff you just don't see regular people doing when you walk down the street. Like, you know, it's a football game and mans are just wilding out.
Painted all.
Yeah. It's just like, just the ordinary wilding out, whatever you would picture in your mind. It's like, cause I feel like we don't have that in the city. Cause it's a city. It's just a different culture, different vibe. But in like, when you go to like a college town and there's like a football game, people are just walking the streets, wilding out. It's like a parade every Saturday afternoon, because that's just what they're looking forward to, you know? So
even with like, and I've had conversations, just to bring up my boy Antwi again, right? Mm. When he was playing for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was telling me that the way that the men, like adults, were treating him, like they knew all his stats. They were like, please take my daughter.
No, kill me.
Like, did you see that same type of energy out there, bro?
Honestly, bro, it's like, and this is the thing. I didn't even play for that long. I only played for 1 year, you know, because I had injuries and stuff like that.
We'll get to that, but.
But it's like, even in that 1 year and just playing and being around it, it's like, you're a superstar, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are a superstar in that area because, like I said, it's a college town.
Yeah.
So everything that's happening, like in terms of entertainment, it's like you're really like the focal point of all that.
Mans knew you when you were coming up out of high school.
100%. Because it's like, yo, this is the people coming to our town.
Yeah.
To represent us around the country. Like, you know, this is who we're going to be watching every other day. Whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where you walk around campus, people are asking you for a picture, you know, signing stuff. It's,
wow,
that's what it is, right?
Yeah, because, and I'm just speculating, but in their mind, they're going to school with people who are going to be potential NBA, NFL superstars. Exactly. So if I can, get an autograph, maybe catch a baby, something from them, I'm set for life.
Anything. Try to get them early, man. That's what it is.
That's crazy,
right? You know what it is.
So. Now you were in school, you say, for only a year, because like in high school you caught a major injury,
right?
So tell me about that. You broke, or not broke? Did you break your back when you fell?
Okay, my bad. I'm just trying to adjust it.
Let me help you.
I think I got you. I got you. You got me. My bad.
Be alive anyway. All I need.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened. Just dropped. You want me to just keep talking, or you want to ask it again? Okay. All right. Yeah, no, we're good. Just don't touch it no more. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so in high school, right, mm-hmm. you sustained a major injury.
Right.
Now, from what I was going from the interviews, it was like a back injury.
Yeah.
So what was happening during the game that happened?
We Big Sleuth to
Steven Hot Grabber with a variety of different grabber flavors and dispensers. They got Red Rose Grabber, that Red Herring Grabber, and Peanut Butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabber, and use the code WELOVEHIPHOP and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steamin' Hot Grabber. Now let's get back to the show. Cheer.
Yeah, long story short, you know, where it went in, and like the person just threw me to the ground.
So like, it wasn't during a play?
No, it was. Like I went up, like it was a fast break.
Uh-huh.
I went up for a dunk, layup, whatever it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And the person like midair just took me and like, threw me to the ground, and I landed straight on my back, right? So that's something that like it took some time to recover from, but I did recover.
Yes.
And like, yeah, it impacted like my recruiting a little bit, but I still went to Virginia Tech.
Yes.
And then when I got to Virginia Tech, like, I'm getting healthier, I'm getting stronger with my back, but I tore my labrum in my hip.
Mm.
So that was during my first year of playing. So in my mind, like, you know, like, I'm thinking like, oh, like, I'm just going to, you know, come back from this too.
Yeah.
But it just didn't turn out like that. So, but, you know, the good thing about it is, like, they were like, yo, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, the injuries are injuries, you mm-hmm. know, like, I still finished school. You know, they were like, yo, you could just, you know, you could
they give you like a scholarship, like.
Yeah, I kept
like
saying.
But it's like something specific, like, yes, a medical scholarship.
Yes, it's like a medical disqualification, basically. Where
medical disqualification.
Like, so it's like, obviously the person would be playing, mm-hmm. but they can't play. So, you know, we will just allow another person to be on the team.
Yeah.
Like another extra scholarship player, because I don't count. I'm just doing school.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something like you have sports like football, you know, those guys, crazy injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So you need rules like that because.
I didn't know that rule existed, fam.
Yeah, you need it because it's like, bro, especially sports like football.
Yeah.
It's like you can get some crazy injuries in that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, when it's done, it's done. You can't just like not finish, you know, like the person has to do something.
Yeah. And they can't just be like, all right, well, sorry, we're done with you. Bye.
Right. And that may happen to some people, which is unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's why that exists, you know?
Well, at least you took advantage of it. You know what I'm saying?
It was definitely tough. You know, it was definitely tough because it's like, yeah, I'm doing it because like, what else am I going to do? You know?
In the time,
you know, but
when you're getting that like finality, like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to play.
Right.
What are you going through emotionally, bro?
I just didn't feel like it was real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was fighting it for so long. I was already dealing with so many injuries.
Yeah.
I didn't really think I could not come back from an injury
mm-hmm.
until like I'm doing rehab, I'm doing this. And it's like, I actually can't go out there and, you know, sustain that level of like, just like activity.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even doable. So I was like, oh, okay. It is what it is. But
it must've been frustrating at times.
100%. Yeah. Because I already overcame something.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, this is something that I could do. You know, like, this is not like I can't overcome. It's not like I don't have the resources. I don't mm-hmm. have the, it's there, but you know, the body, you know, does what the body does.
The body does what it does. Yeah.
So you have to, it's that acceptance part. And that took some time, but luckily with music already being something that I'm also passionate about,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like I was already at that point kind of known for something else mm-hmm. too. Like even at the university, people knew me as the person on the basketball team that raps, you know?
Okay.
So it was like, yeah, I lost something, but at the same time, like I had something else that I was gaining respect for, you know?
And you also had a place for an outlet.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would imagine like,
exactly.
you know what I'm saying? Like you could let it out in the booth, let it out on shit that you probably never even recorded.
Mm-mm. Facts. Nah, for real. Nah, that's real.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I was in this program at school. Shout out to Digging in the Crates. Shout out my man Craig and Freddie.
Salute.
It's these two, it was like a librarian and a professor. They started like a hip hop organization.
Okay.
Where it's like they would bring in like people that were hip hop professors at other schools. Just like everything hip hop related in academia. They would just do it there at free studio time.
Sick.
Everything, you know, and it was like definitely something that I took advantage of because they put me on a lot of game, mm-hmm. you know, like they taught me a lot of like the history of hip hop, you know, like just a lot of the different things that are just going on. And then like, especially in academia.
Yeah.
You know, the people trying to bring hip hop into, you know, universities or whatever the case may be. So that was that to me. I feel like that was like something that lifted me up during that time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very impactful, bro.
Bro, because I love hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, say I love rap music. I love the history of rap. And these guys are guys that love it just as much.
Mm-hmm.
And they studied it, you know, and they know other people that are studying it in all these other places and just learning and meeting new people. So it's like, yeah, that's good for something like for someone like me, because had I not had that, you know,
you can go out the wrong path.
Yeah,
bro.
You know,
you're from Blake Street.
Trust me, man. you know what it is, bro. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
For you, everybody needs something. You know, so
yeah.
I'm glad that exists, and I'm always thankful for those guys. You know,
and you also got a creative writing degree.
Yep. So that's
congrats.
I appreciate that. You know, and that's something that like, I especially when I got to university, I realized I'm like, yo, if I want to be like super sick at this, you know, mm-hmm. like. Let me figure out how I could use my education to help me at my craft.
Yeah.
So it's like, none of the stuff that I was doing was really like directly related to rap in those classes. But, you know, rap is poetry. Rap is, you know, it's like, it's creative writing. So, you know, you just take in what other people are doing, even if it's a Shakespeare or whatever. Maybe you're never going to do anything like that. But at the same time, there's a tie because it's like, it's still art, you know?
Yeah.
Mans are making art. So, you know, the smarter you get with art, the better your music's going to be. That's, I believe that.
And the thing is also, I feel that the better you are with your English, the better you are going to be at writing your lyrics, bro.
Because there's words at the end of the day.
Yes.
And to me, it's like, it's not even about big words. It's about how you use your words.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what I took the most from it.
That's what I was just getting to. Did that enhance your writing?
Because, bro, I feel like rap has its own language, you know? And it's like, the way you write as a rapper shouldn't be the same way you write as a professor.
Yeah.
It's two different types of writing, but it's like understanding how to write in that world is something that, like, you know, you could do by, that's why you have people, maybe they're not even from the culture, but it's like, you know, they could rap like they are just because it's like, when you really immerse yourself in the world, it's like you learn it.
Yeah.
It's something that could be learned for real.
Yeah.
You know, without being directly involved.
Yeah.
So that's just how I decided, even though I'm from a hip hop culture, I still decided to look at it from that lens to just go deeper.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, going along in your journey now, you come back to the six.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, first coming back to the six? And like, I don't want to bring you back to like dark places or whatever, but like, you come back and people had these expectations of you when you left, right? And I've seen stories like Cameron and different people. At first, they don't tell people that nothing happened. They're like, I'll be right back over there.
Right.
What was your story when you came back home?
Bro, for me, it was just like, I just felt like I wanted to get to it. So I was like, yo, I can't even think like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make money in my life, trying to do something with my life. So obviously I felt all that, but I was like, especially at that point, I'm like, I want to do this music thing. Like, music's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So regardless of what people know me for or what it is, like, yeah, it might feel weird or awkward, but it's like, I believe in myself. I have the tools to do what I want to do. So I was just, you know, putting my head down and I was just making music, putting it out, trying to put myself in different places and situations where I can grow as a musician and like kind of applying pressure to the people and letting them know like, yo, you may have had that expectation with basketball in the past, but this is what I'm on. And, you know, this is, and I'm going to prove it to you that it's something you should take serious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I've been watching the process and I've been really loving the music that's been coming out of it, man.
Appreciate that.
And, you know, there's other things that you do besides music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like we were talking about off camera, the teaching, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It, like, how did you get into that, bro?
Yo, honestly,
you're a young man to be a teacher, bro.
I feel like that was like, you know, when certain things just happen, you don't plan for them to happen. And then you realize that, yo, I was just meant to be here. Like, it was a situation where like,
Were you teaching specifically to?
I was teaching English. Yes. And history, and I was also like helping coach the basketball team.
Okay.
But it is a basketball school, Uchenna Academy.
Okay.
I was just supposed to go there and speak, you know? And then I met the staff and they were like, oh, you do this, you do that, you have a degree in this. I feel like you would be perfect here just for this little thing, you know? And then like, I'm helping, and they're like, well, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should be the teacher next semester, you know? And it was just like, it turned into something where I was like, okay, like, damn, like, these little kids are trying to do what I did. You know, they have the same aspirations, the same goals, but they don't know. They don't know. How are they supposed to know?
Yeah.
They're still 15 to 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, how are they supposed to know? So me having that experience on the other side, bringing it back to them, it made me realize like, yo, this is, I never used to think about how important that was, but there's a lot of kids that do need that. Cause you know, they're eager and they're hungry for that opportunity that I had.
Yeah, yeah.
So telling them what it takes, showing them the ropes, you know, and even just like on the educational standpoint, like, you know, working with the kids, letting them know like, yo, you need school, fam. Like you can't make it without the grades. Like it doesn't matter how sick you are. Like
don't leave.
You have to go through high school and pass. Like not even just pass, but you have to qualify.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks. You know, sometimes some people don't. then they have to go to junior college, or maybe they can't go to the school they want to. So it's like, you never want that to be the reason a kid that's talented doesn't go as far as they can go. So,
and you've seen that a few times.
Of course, you know, because it just happens, you know, especially when you're really good. It's hard to believe that it could happen to you. You know, you're like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. And then it's like, you know, grade 12 creeps around. And you're like, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't even qualify. I have to go to juke, you know, and it's, and I'm not knocking anybody that had to do that. You know, everybody's path is different, but you know, especially if you do have an opportunity to go, you don't want it to be because you didn't take school seriously.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want it to be that.
You know, one thing I also, when I listen to your raps, and I was listening to some songs on the way here, I know that you're talking about your life, right?
Mm.
But knowing that you're a teacher and teaching kids that young, do some of your rhymes, like, are they about some of your students or some of the things that they go through?
100%.
Because like you're seeing that, right?
100%. To me, it's like, I rap about everything.
Mm-hmm.
My life, the life around me. Like, City News at 6, that's not about me at all.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that whole project, I said, yo, okay, let me put it this way. When I came back to the city, right? I left at 15,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of the people that I grew up with from ball are people like, you know, top five, you know?
Yeah.
People are like Smoke Dog.
Wow.
R&D. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was young, like Smoke Dog was a little older than me, but top five was like, what? You're older than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to go to Raptors games together. Like these are people that like I know in real life from ball.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's like, obviously, I see what's going on when I'm across the border, you know, hooping. I'm like, you know, mans are caught up in this and that.
Mm.
And like, I feel like I wanted to make an album that really just like, you know, showed like how it's looking to me, like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because I see it develop. You know, I see when mans are still a little innocent, chasing hoop dreams. And then it just turns into, you know, mans are trying to do whatever to handle their situation, get by. And then it's beef. And then it's this. And then it's, you know, and then you see how maybe the system, they didn't really give them the guidance or the support they needed. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, now it's like your boy, he's locked up, he's dead, you know, he's whatever, he's caught up.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, I wanted to make that project to really like, you know, tell that story of like, yo, like, you know, this is a city with a lot of potential.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe it ends in certain ways that aren't the best, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be like that because, you know what I mean? There's ways around it, you know, if we work together, for sure.
Fam, that's so interesting, like the way you're breaking down right now. Like, and I've heard this before in other conversations I've had about so many of like the Toronto rappers that like we look at now or that are in situations, how there was more unity at one point because everybody was playing ball together.
That's it, bro.
That's crazy.
It's a real thing, you know, especially if you're really in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go play downtown, you know, at John Ennis. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to go to Scarborough and then you're going to go to Falstaff.
Yeah.
You're going to touch the whole city and like your grade 7, grade 6, grade 8. You're not thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then mans get a little older. Mans are doing different things. Now it's like, oh, yeah, maybe we did play ball together, but. Yeah, that doesn't matter no more.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the toughest part to see because it's like,
you've seen probably people who were cool together who end up like their crew is everybody bare beef.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, you guys don't even know, you know, like people just look at it as like, oh, these people probably like, it's like, nah, man, like basketball did unify these people at one point, you know, and it still can, but. You know, sometimes that's why I value basketball so much
because
I've seen the positive that it's done.
Yeah.
This beyond the NBA and like, you know, this is just like the game. People just coming together to play.
Yeah.
It breaks down a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of barriers. So I think basketball is a very valuable thing to the community, you know?
Fam, you're putting chills up my spine because I'm just imagining some of our favorite Toronto rappers now, but like as young guys, like, laughing, just being kids, shaking hands, being cool with each other.
Yep.
And then like
it's a lot of
fast
them.
Forward, like
it's a lot of them.
Bodies are literally dropping between their crews.
And it's unfortunate, you know, especially because, you know, mans are grown now and mans have real problems with each other.
Yeah.
You never wanted to see it end that way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then it's like, you know, people have sides. And now you're just like, as somebody that's out of the city, not dealing with any of that, and then coming back, I'm just like, damn. You know, like, I'm cool with you, but that's your op, and that's the issue, and this person dropped, and it's like,
yeah,
you're just in the middle of it, like just, it's kind of sad, you know,
because that's sad.
That's really what it came to, you know?
Yeah, no, fam, that's, when you describe that, fam, and you described like the names, like Top Five and Smoke Dog, who one incarcerated, one passed away, I'm like, damn, bro, like, it was such a better life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yo, that's crazy. Okay, back on track with your life, right? Getting to where we are now.
Right.
You're currently over at the Remix Project.
Yep, I just graduated.
Okay.
But still definitely involved, you know?
Yes. So when did you start at the Remix Project?
I started, it's a 9-month program, right? So I did it last year, started in April, and then it ends in December.
So do you produce too?
Nah. I definitely like to work with producers, but I'm not, you can't just give me the DAW and just like, expect me to make a beat from now. I can't.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll be there for it, you know?
Okay. So what's something that you brought away from the Remix now that you've graduated?
Honestly, the biggest thing is relationships. You know, I met a lot of people in the industry that like were giving me game, teaching me about how to handle the business, what to look out for when you're doing different things, you know, labels, managers, you know, how to, you know, properly just do business for a song and different things like that. So it's really, there's just people giving you game. You know, you have guys like Ricky.
Yeah.
You have guys like Rich.
Yeah.
You know, Low, all those guys. You know, mans are in there with experience.
Mans
aren't just in there just telling you stuff with no experience. These guys are big dogs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I just feel like it's what you make it. I used to just pick Rich's brain all the time. I still do, you know?
Salute to Rich Kid, yo.
Yeah. You know, I just pick his brain all the time about just different things in the business because I'm still new to the actual business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when it comes to the music, and that's what he would tell me all the time. He's like, yo, like, you can rap, you know, but this is how you should go about navigating the business, marketing, branding, relationships, this and that. So that, to me, that was the biggest takeaway, you know?
Yeah. No, salute to the Remix Project. Big salute to Gavatista, the homie Gavin Shepherd. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to pick your brain for a quick second, right? Before we finish our conversation, right?
Okay.
Like, as a Toronto rapper,
yeah,
what do you think, and like specifically as a Toronto rapper, what do you think is the biggest struggle for you and others in this scene?
I feel like what happens is you're a Toronto rapper, you're making good music, and then you realize people are paying attention to everything but the music. So even if you are somebody, maybe you're into a little politics that people talk about, that could get annoying.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to be a musician and now everybody's bringing up politics. Maybe you're not guy in the politics and everybody's like, we just want to pay attention to the politics.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just wish that it was less about the politics in the city, you know, because it's like, yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, we're, you know, everyone's human and people have their problems or whatever. And I'm not, you know, here to like put down any other group or whatever. I do want things to always end up positively. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I think the biggest struggle is like, it's the fact that like, yo, even if you're, you know, pressa, you know, it's politics.
Yeah. And he still wants to make music probably.
Right. And then if you're Toby, it's like, well, no one's paying attention
to you.
Go
get you some Polys.
No, for real. You know?
Even though he's one of the sickest artists, period. Even in Canada, period.
He's nice.
Yeah.
But we all know what we pay attention to. And again, I'm not saying that like that's not part of the music. You know, at the end of the day, like people are speaking about their lives. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So like that's always going to bleed into the music. But I think it should always go back to the music at the end of the day. Is this a good song or is it a bad song?
Yeah.
Not, you know, all about what happened. We could talk about what happened, but like, you know, let's end it with the music.
Yeah. You know? No, fam, that's a great point. Like, especially the comparisons, because both of those artists, they just want to make music at the end of the day.
100%.
Right?
100%.
And, you know, you mentioned Pressa, right? He had a sentiment, a piece the other day. And, you know, he was saying, you know, free Doovie and stuff like that. I made the post.
Yeah.
Right? About that whole thing. And then Drake jumped in the comment and said, you guys do a tune together, I'll jump on the collabo with you.
Right.
Now, I'm going somewhere with this.
Right,
I got a lot of backlash because people are saying, there's no way that Drake could just do a tune with them and then it'll be over.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that, fam? Like, one, should they take the verse? And would it make it over?
So I think the main thing everyone's saying is, like, once blood shed, it's done.
Yes.
I understand that. You know, and I understand the emotion, the pain that comes with that. And really and truly, there is nothing that anybody can do about that but the people involved. But one thing that I can say that I would like to see is I would like to see man just link up.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, that would be nice to see. Why don't I want to see man say, like, you know what? Whatever happened in the past, you know, I don't want to see no more young boys dying. I don't want to see, you know, no more funerals, moms burying their kid. Like, if mans could look at each other and say that and make a tune with Drake, I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's a very good look for the city. Do I understand that this is reality and mans have real pain and emotions? Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I could have it a certain way, it wouldn't be like this. It would be the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just my take on it. You know, I can't really, you know, control how people feel. So I'm not going to, you know, go there. But at the same time, like, I wish. Yeah. That's what I'll say. I wish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it does happen, you know, because he put it on the table.
It's, you know, I don't think it was a troll, bro. I think
he's serious.
You're looking at the account. Yeah. That's the right account. Yeah.
And he's real for that. I don't think that's Drake trying to pretend. I think he's dead serious. Mm-hmm. I think the man really meant what he said. He's like, yo, I don't, because even you hear what he's saying. You know, like champagne poetry, the city's on fire. Everybody's in denial. You know, he's saying in tracks, like, I can't even show my remorse to the homie.
Yeah.
I see that he feels it because it's like, maybe sometimes he does want to show love to a rapper in the city, but then mans are going to catch feelings because, you know,
it's like it puts a target on their back as soon as he shows too much love to one person.
Right. And that's a tough position to be in when you're that guy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, maybe you're genuinely a fan, but it's like, you got to move a certain way because of how everything's going. So for him to just be like, yo, I don't even care about the polys. Like, you guys bring it together. I'm on that. I rate that.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. No, man. Salute to you for that, man. And salute to the boy for you know, creating this big conversation. That's, I'm going to be asking more people about this. You're not the only person I'm going to ask about this, bro.
Because I'm comfortable answering that too.
Because, like, I just feel that it's a big thing. Our city has been looked at for the last, I won't even just say 10 years, but the last 10 years for sure, it's been hyper-focused, like, from people from all over the world, right? We can get to the other side where, 100%. Like, there's a bunch of millionaires walking around having careers out here.
Yep, because we have the talent. We have the music.
Yeah.
We're nice.
Yeah, fam.
We're nice.
You're nice, fam. I'm there listening to your shit on the way here, bro, and just the stuff that I've heard over time. I'm like, this guy is lyrically proficient, and he's talking about good stuff.
I appreciate that. You know?
I appreciate it. Like, that's, you love. Can, like, get some, like, information from the music that you're listening to.
That's love.
You know what I'm saying? Like, before we end, like, do you ever feel like, I'm giving them too much? Let me just dumb it down like crazy and then just see if I can catch a big one, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, there's ways, you know? Not everything has to be big ideas, you know? You can say big things with simple strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it doesn't always have to be like the most lyrical verse.
Yeah.
It's really about just like, sometimes you just got to make a good song, you know? So, like, I know when it's too much and I know who it's for.
Yeah, you know.
But that's why I bring up, you know, those artists, Cole, Kendrick, and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
They did it the best. They all know, okay, this is a single.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I just give to radio. This is what I make the music video.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to eat it up. Just give it to them. But then, you know, their intro, their outros, you know, the timestamp, location check.
Mm.
Those are the ones for the people, you know, that really listen to the music to really take in. And it's like, they always feed those different types of audiences, which is something that I want to incorporate in my music. Where I know, like, yeah, sometimes this isn't for people that aren't going to want to take the time to take it in.
No, fam, your music has information that you can get from it. And, like, when I'm listening to it, I'm like, and I'm, now that I have you here, I'm like, you know, you're taking the longer road.
and that's what it is.
Yeah. But it's well worth it.
Right. 100%. Especially because, you know, I want to have a long career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to just be here and then I'm locked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, that's where it's like, it goes back to what we were saying before. It's like, yo, I want people to actually have successful careers. I don't want mans to get all this attention for the polys, that's going to end up stunning your growth in your career.
Yeah.
Because now it's like you turn into a sick artist. Maybe you have a crazy wave right now and you got to do a bid. You know what I'm saying? Like that, so to me, that's times. The worst. Like, I don't even think that's funny. That's not entertainment to me. I'm like, mans are trying to feed their families, you know? And it's like, sometimes people are genuinely doing what they're doing to just survive, get by, whatever. So I'm like, damn, you know, like this person had a chance. They're nice. They're talented. And, you know, they have to deal with the system, fam. Yeah. It's a trap, you know?
It is, man. And I've seen it too many times, man. Yeah, man. John Kabongo in My the guy. Building. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed having this conversation. Yeah, like,
for sure.
Listen, fam, to be honest, I was looking forward to this conversation, especially after doing my research. I'm like, this is an intelligent young man right here.
That's love.
You're teaching other people things. So we're just going to have like a base combo here.
Right.
What do you got coming up next? Like, we're in the top of the year now.
Man, so I have a project at the end of the year titled Still Rich. You know, I'm excited for that. I got some singles. I got features. You know, I'm all over the place. I feel like Toronto is so talented. I just want to lock in and make music with all types of artists.
Yeah.
R&B,
yeah.
You know, trap artists, more lyrical artists, you know, even if there's a nice, I don't know, alternative artist out there somewhere that has a crazy track for me, I would do it. I like music, man. I want to make good music and that's what people are going to hear from me, man.
Hey, listen, Beyonce just dropped a country single, yo.
Yo, I'm telling you. I'm telling you that when you have that diversity, fam, like that's how you become a Beyonce. Yeah. You have that longevity. You can reinvent yourself every time.
Yeah.
And if your fans ever need the old you, you know, you do it like Drake. You just drop the Scary Hours 3 and, you know, you let them know I still do this. And then you move forward.
Yeah. Slap them in the head with 100 bars.
That's all you got to do if you need to remind them, you know? That's how I see it, man. I really don't want to always be, you know, stagnant and do the same type of thing, same type of sound, you know? Always expand, fam.
No, that's dope, man. That's dope. Let the people know where they find you.
Yep.
Social media wise, music, anywhere where they want you to find the information.
So John Kabongo, JonKabongo. That's on everything. That's Instagram, that's Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, TikTok. It's all the same handle. It's all spelled the same way. And yeah, man, more content and more music coming soon.
More content for your head top, yo.
Yes, sir.
Before we get out of here, big salute to the sponsors. Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. Also, big salute to Steamin' Hot Grabba. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba. And last but not least, big salute to Exotic Hot Pot. Hit them up on their Instagram page, exotichotpot.ca. Yes,
sir.
I'm going to take us out with the tune TDSB.
Ooh, that's a deep one.
With my boy Tona.
Killed his verse.
All right, let's hit the road. This one right here, bro.
Yeah. Crazy beat. Shout out my man Justin. He produced the whole album. Really? Just Unlimited. Yep.
Thanks to Just Unlimited.
School system corrupted, them children suffering. Teachers can't relate to the struggle, they out of touch with them. Social workers trying to find victims, said ain't no love for them. The kid is barely paying attention, just life is rough for him. But they gon' say that he got ADD. It's hard to focus when you win at dirt like ATVs. Every man, cause they can't understand what they can't see. They insecure, so they be telling kids what they can't be. Yeah. Policing these babies instead of restoration. Being a focus, this really isn't about education.
Got it,
it's
brother.
About keeping a certain type of.
We love hip hop.